going to be the thing that's going to make or break any type of relationship. I don't care what friendship, you know, companionship, whatever it is, you have to be willing to communicate.
You have to. I think it's everything in all types of relationships, not even just romantic, like any type of relationship needs effective communication. Cause sometimes you can talk, but it's like you all might remember from like the Muppet Babies, the nanny who, whenever she would talk, it would just sound like wah, 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 wah. It was because it was never important for us to really know what she was saying. It's like people can talk, and if you sound like that to someone, then it's not effective because they can't hear what you're saying. So it's like really figuring out that. But you mentioned something earlier about like dating fatigue, and I am very, I hold myself very accountable. Like I do my best because I hear that like women don't like being accountable. Women don't like being accountable. And I think assessing it from watching women and knowing certain women, this might be true with some women. So I'm really intentional about being that way. And I know what part I play in the dating space sometimes, because that fatigue, it comes upon me very easily. Like I'm not impatient, but once I get the fatigue, I start to like almost become a recluse. Like I go out and I'm just going out to have a good time. I don't even have any intention around it. But one of the things that I've noticed noticeably different about the dating scene is how disconnected we all are when we're outside, like how much we're in our phones and stuff like that. And I'm like, I was young, but I remember like the time where we didn't have a cell phone. And so you talked to people everywhere you went. That was just like very normal. And then when you thought about dating, like there was not a time where, depending on where you would go, where like a guy isn't trying to talk to a woman and like being very confident in approaching her and all of that. And now I'm like, that to me is one of the biggest differences. And so I try to acquiesce and adjust to the new vibes, like the dating apps and all of these things, but they feel so inauthentic. Like they're real people, but the interaction is very inauthentic. Like one of the things that has happened on a dating app more than one time is that I'll connect with someone and we'll have a exchange, you know, hey, like, how you doing? And a conversation, had I met them in person, would have happened in 20 minutes. That was cool. That same conversation on a dating app can take like 2 to 3 weeks.
I know.
Oh my God. Let me jump in real quick.
I cannot do dating apps. I can't do it. It's so weird.
I think this is the texting error. Cause even just by, you know, I text you and then they might not hit you back to the next day about if we was really talking person to person, we would have got here already. I would have. And then not just that, just looking at body language, how you sound. Say we was on a phone, because you know, if you want to take it back, you know what I'm saying? It's how you sound on the phone. I can hear the tone of your voice. I can't read a text message and see how you feel. Then I read it with my emotions, that like, dad, did I read that right? Then and it slows down the, all right, let me go in. So it slows down even the critical thinking, like the fact that if I'm talking to you face to face, it forces me to give you what I really think versus let me sit back and say, let me think about what I can say to this. Let me see what I can say to this. You get what I'm saying? So it's like the dating app situation, and I'm on there too. I deleted most of them. Cause it's like, I got one, that's your Facebook one, but you know, so I'm like, all right, you could talk, go back and forth, and you could talk, you ask questions, and then everything's based upon notifications. And it's like, you cannot read a whole person by looking at three sentences, you know what I mean? And then who's feel like, if you did want to say something, it will, if I really wrote down what I would say in, I don't know, 30 seconds, it would look like a paragraph. And it's like, are you going to take the time out and read what I just wrote? Do I even feel like writing what I just wrote? So it's like, so.
I would rather just be talking to you in person.
Can we call each other on the phone at least? Bare minimum. It's so impersonal, and I can't. I will not online date. I refuse to do it. I absolutely refuse to do it. Like, I'm not doing it. And when I did try it, I met like some of the strangest people. And I'm not saying that's like everybody's story, but for me, I was like, oh no, is this where all the weirdos go? I'm not interested. Like, yeah. It was just weird. It was awkward. It was, and I find that people are socially awkward because they're only used to texting and being on their phone or on their apps. They are socially awkward. They don't know how to walk up to a person and have a conversation. How many times have I seen you guys at Nottingham's and we just sit there and have a conversation?
Right, right.
Every definitely. Time we see each other. That's how I met Everett.
That's how we met. I was just about to say it's how we met. But just having a general, you know, just a general authentic conversation. Hey, you come here often? Hey, I do. And then we automatically start talking about situations and like, yo, you're a dope person. Yeah, you're a dope person. And it had nothing to do with sexuality or I'm hitting on her, she hitting on me. It was a real conversation. Didn't even know what it was going to be. I think a lot of people miss that because they don't want to take the time out or they're losing the confidence to step up to a person to like, because you don't know what's going to happen. But you got to be ready to take rejection. It is what it is. It makes you stronger. It is what it is. So, you know, a lot of people, me and Jason, we talk about things. And it's like, if you do step up to a person, it's or how many people grew emotional enough to withstand a hit like that? You know, if a person is playing games, all you wanted was my attention, but you ain't really had no intentions to even talk to me in the first place. You know, it was just I was a filler because maybe you was by yourself over here, and it's like, well, I guess it's good enough. You know what I mean? Type of deal, whatever. Am I settled? Like, did you settle with me as having a conversation? It's crazy how we can settle in so many areas, not just settling with being with someone, but did you settle by just having a conversation with you? You know you didn't want to talk to me, or I know I didn't want to talk to you, but I settled just to, I guess I could talk about something. Let me see what he's about, or she's, which is nothing wrong with that, because you don't know. You don't know what's behind that.
Let me step. I think, you know, the dating app is cool for some people, but I think it's more authentic and much better when it happens organically. Like if you go into a Walmart or something and you meet someone and you talking and y'all kind of click and the vibe is good and, you know, exchange numbers, you're having a conversation and you're interacting. That dating thing, you got so many people that might like your stuff or, you know, you saying hi to so many people, you kind of want to fast forward through all the the other stuff, you know, let's get it. Let's cut to the chase.
Right. Like, ask me about my favorite color later. I don't.
What if you talk about it
another time?
Yeah. What do you want? What are you looking for?
Right. Get straight to the point.
Let's cut to the chase. Get to the point.
Yeah, it's harder to do that. That's what I'm saying. I know it's where we're going in the world. Like, we are progressing and going more to the digital age. And I get that. Like, I'm all for, you know, growing and evolving and all of that stuff. But to me, when it comes to building relationships, I need to be able to see your, because I read energy really, really well. Same. I am into the energy very well. I need to be able to look at you in your eyes. In the first 5 minutes, I can tell whether or not this is going to go somewhere.
It's what Jason was saying about, like, it's so many people, it feels like an assembly line. And I remember me and my friend were both on a dating app. And, you know, we would talk about the people we were connecting with. And one time I sent her a screenshot of the like a quick little blurb of the conversation me and the guy had. And she was like, wait, I feel like I meshed with him too. And I feel like he said the exact same thing to me. And literally he was like copying and pasting the answer.
Oh God.
And I'm like, that's because this feels like an assembly line. You think about an assembly line, everything is exactly the same. Yes, it feels overwhelming. Like, I'll get on there and it's like 20 something matches, and I'm like, who's supposed to look at all those? And like, I think on a serious note, that just goes back to what we talked about at the very top, where we just have really shaped our world from a dating perspective to feel less human. It just all feels very like a machine. Like, we don't just date one person anymore. And I don't have a dog in either way of that fight. Like, if you feel like it's a process of elimination and I want to put up three options and date all three to see how it goes, that's your way, cool. But I remember a time where if you met someone on Friday, that's who you talk to until you stop talking to them. Like, you didn't meet someone on Saturday and then Sunday and then Monday, and now you're talking to four or five people and having to keep up with conversations. Like, that wasn't a thing when I was 19 and 20. Like, so to get on board with that 20 years later, it's hard for me. And so I'm like, I just, with all that said, so those are the sides of like when I have to admit to the realities of the struggles with dating, that's mm-hmm. when I sometimes get kind of scared. I'm not even gonna lie. And I just like, I'm like, nope, I'm gonna stay quiet. I'm just gonna go in the house and work on my own stuff. And I'm just gonna be quiet because it gets spooky. It really gets spooky. And I feel like sometimes I'm in a world unknown. Like I feel like I got dropped somewhere. Like, oh no, where am I?
That's what I mean by dating fatigue. It is it's literally draining, because I do feel like we've become robotic. And I'm still looking for that authentic connection that you meet somebody
you can explain.
Yeah, when you weren't even intending to meet somebody when you were walking to the store, but you walked into the store and you met that person. Like, that's what I want. I'm sitting there at Starbucks. I want to meet somebody at Starbucks. You know, I'm not necessarily looking for that. Hey, it's the numbers game. Cause I feel like with the guys that have approached me lately, it's a numbers game. Right. So I'm going to try to talk to 25 of these women. And out of the 25, I should get at least three numbers. And I'm like, wow. Like, literally.
When you meet somebody in the club, the club is like a hunting ground. it's the call of the wild, you know. when you meet somebody, when you meet a guy or meet a woman, I think you have to ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. You know, when you ask questions like, you know, what are your plans for the future? You know, what are your plans for relationships? You know, what do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? You know, you got to ask the right questions, and if those questions match your perspective or, you know, your views of a good man, then you might have something. But if he talking crazy, you know, everybody have a mask on in the beginning. Yeah. You know, you can only hold that mask for a certain amount of time. You know, but if you feel like, you know, his responses matches your, you know, what you think a good man is, then you might have something there. But it's all about asking the right questions.
Right. Yeah. I'm not to the place where I don't even want a mask. I'm authentic. Like, it is what it is. This is who I am.
Yeah. And like, and the piggyback
I'm not
off of
on that anymore. Like, I'm too old for this game. Listen.
Right.
This is what this is where I am. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. Is that okay with you? Can you live with that? Okay, then we're cool. Because I just don't have time anymore. It's draining.
And that's the thing, that even a piggyback off of what Jason said, that where people really meet, it's like, are you living a purposeful life? Like, even when you handle your responsibilities, like the Walmart or meeting somewhere because you was just shopping for food or you was going shopping at the mall or whatever. So even online shopping takes you out of the store, takes you out of the going out. So, you know, so you see less, it's like the authentic people are in the house and the fake ones are about. And it's like, man, how, you know, so it's like going to the museum and whatever case may be. You might go to a get together you was invited to, but you might not go because you don't feel like it, because you might be dealing with dating fatigue. I don't feel like nobody being in my face, da da da, another idiot. I don't feel like doing that. But That's every day, right? It's every day. So I'm thinking like, you should just enjoy life. And as you interact with people, because a lot of times when you meet when I hear a lot of people, one people that met off of dating app, once in a while, how y'all met off of dating app? Oh, wow. So not taking away of how people still meet, but majority of it all, how I see them meet is always, oh, we met at a such and such. We met, I know somebody that met at an accident. You know what I mean? Like,
actual accident?
He was in an accident. And then that's when she was there just to help him in the accident. And that's how they met. It had nothing to do with whatever. So, and so that authentic meet, and when you meet at somewhere like that, whatever, that's I think that's where organic meetups do happen, because we're somewhere where I was coming, you was coming, I went in coming to meet someone, but I saw you. It gives a more romantic, you know what I mean, gesture or things of that nature. Hey, I know you're shopping, but you know, what you buying for tonight? What you cooking tonight? You'll cook me something too. You know what I mean? You say things and do
it's
things.
It's a good story.
Yeah, but how you definitely met? The lounge for men is I mean, for everybody, not even for men, but it is a hunting ground. It is. That was a good term to use for that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So when you do get out there, and because let me speak from the man's perspective, usually because we the ones stepping up, it's a skill set that men have to talk to a woman. Like you got to know, okay, how do I come? How do I get in there? How do I, it might not look like that, but for us, we got to see how to approach without looking like another idiot. And you might be a good choice, but if you come off, I'm going to say a joke, and it's like, get your corny self out of here. And then next thing you know, you done flatline. There's no coming back. You can't do nothing to fix it. You can have a great conversation for 10 minutes and say one thing, and she's like, got it. Mm-hmm. All right. So for us, I know, like,
he's a serial killer.
So for us, it's like we have to be, it's a skill that we have to, like, okay, what do I say? How do I say it? This answer or whatever. How do I read it? Like, because we're kind of leading the situation. A lot of women become approachable. You know, they make the opportunity. They might give you a wink. They might give you a smile. They might touch you on walking by. They might even say, oh, excuse me, because they're grabbing a drink. They do things to make you know, hey, boy, come get me. And it's like, okay. But you still have to approach in a skillful way. You just can't say anything. You gotta in a man's world. I was like, you know, the man's world. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's where we stand up at. And a lot of men, you know, some men be like, man, I wish women will approach men more. Like, I just feel like if you want to talk to us, to say, hey, what's your name? But, you know, reality, that's not what happened. You get what I'm saying? So
Rhonda, have you ever approached a man?
I have. And you know, I've done it subtly, not like too forward. I take that back. I have actually, when I was younger, just like straight up asked the guy for his number. But I think in more recent years, I've just been more subtle. Like, I might, if I see you, let's say we're like across a bar or something, and I feel like there's a vibe, like we're catching something, like eye contact or whatever, I may send a drink. And, you know, I feel like that's pretty subtle. I also feel like that's something that is universally recognized. It's like me making a first move without, because I'm not going to get up and walk over. And I'm not going to do that. But I do think, and this is something I learned from Dre, my co-host, this is why it's important to have good guy friends that can like help guide you in this space. He's like, you know, all you have to do sometimes for a man is invite him, you know, like make him aware that you are open for approach, not that you approach. You know, if you just throw off a certain hint or throw off a certain signal, because just like women don't necessarily like it, which is why we don't do it. We don't love rejection. He was like, newsflash, men don't really like it either. Like, no one likes to be rejected.
Nobody likes it.
He's like, you know, we accept it more because we are more like designed in general to be hunters. So we're used to like being told no sometimes. He's like, but nobody wants that. He's like, so of course it's easier if I'm eyeing you or whatever, and you just kind of make it clear that you're cool with me approaching you, I'll do the rest of the work. He's like a man is going to do his thing at that point. And so, I've done that. That's the most I'll do today.
That's actually funny, because my therapist told me, she said, so my homework for you is when you go out again, if you meet somebody that you find, you know, that catches your eye, because of course, let's be honest, it's the first thing that you're going to see is whether you're physically attracted to them before you get to talk to them.
Yeah.
She's like, I want you to offer to buy him a drink. I was like, oh, child. It's like, I was like, okay, challenge accepted. I haven't done it yet because I haven't even really been in that space, but I said, I'm going to do it. And I can't wait to report back and see how this goes.
Yeah. And I think there's like a sweet spot. There's a sweet spot and there's a balance, because I think one of the most powerful things about women specifically, or one of the things I love about being a woman, is that I feel extremely observant. Like I feel mm-hmm. like that's some sort of thing. Like when you say a woman's intuition, like we can yep. feel things before we can even see them. I feel yep. like it's the same way when I'm in a space and I'm making myself available, or wanting to make myself available for male approach. There are some men where buying him a drink or offering to buy him a drink may not be the right move, right? Mm-hmm. That's just, you have to analyze that. You have to really mm-hmm. meet that. But what I like about it the most, even when I've like, when I've dated someone and I bought a man flowers before, it's the reaction to the generosity.
Yes.
Guys just aren't used
they don't get it.
They just don't receive appreciation.
They don't receive it in the
smallest way. Like we get bought drinks all the time. We're right. like, but you don't buy me a drink. Buy one from a friend.
It's so sad because I talk to some of my girlfriends about that all the time. I'm like, you know, especially the ones that are married or in relationships. I'm like, buy that man something. Surprise him. Send him some flowers. It's okay to send him some flowers. Do you know how grateful he's going to be? Because they don't get that.
Yeah.
They don't get. Are we lying, men? I know we're not lying.
Have either of you ever received flowers from a woman?
I've never received flowers.
I did.
I did once. Okay, you have that.
One. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
one. Yeah, even just a for nothing gift. Have you ever gotten a for nothing gift?
No.
Wow. Nah. Birthdays, Christmas.
I'm telling you, we're cloth.
And see, that's what makes me joke and say stuff like, so Jesus, why? Lord, why? Why? Where is he, Heavenly Father?
Where is he, Lord? Because I have done that. I've actually randomly just cooked like this big, huge, anybody knows me. Knows I love to cook, and I cooked like this really great meal. I said I had flowers. I did all of this stuff for no reason. It was a for nothing gift.
Yeah.
Scheduled a massage, all the things.
I love it.
Yeah. But women expect this from men, and this is where we sisters got to do a little better. We need to compliment men more. We need to encourage men more when they are doing a good job, and we need to do some for nothing gifts.
Yeah.
It's important. We appreciate it. It lights up our day.
Yeah,
when we get it, so why can't we reciprocate that?
Yeah, one of my biggest arguments to dispel the gender war thing mm-hmm. that men this versus women mm-hmm. that is that we are so much more alike than we are.
You think? Yep.
Like yes, fundamentally there are some things genetically, biologically that are different about men and women, but we are people. We both have tear ducts. We both have hearts. We both were given feelings. Like if you just go sometimes to the simplest thing that really makes you happy, that really makes you feel appreciated, 9 times out of 10, that's all it would take for the other person too.
Exactly. It's
not, you know, so we lose opportunities, like you said, a just because gift, which, you know, one time, my favorite candy is Swedish Fish. I have a really bad relationship with them. So I really like try to not get them at all because I just love them that much. And somebody just brought me some Swedish Fish just because they know that I like them, but also that I deny myself from having them. So it felt like so thoughtful, like, oh, this is a little treat, got a little bag. So I would only have a few. I'm like, that was so simple. That did not require a $500 date. That
exactly.
You thought about me. And consideration is huge. That's when people say, what's one of the things I'm looking for the most in my future partner is consideration. That is one of the biggest things, because if you consider me, if you think about me, even in the smallest ways, I feel like you'll take better care of me and vice versa. If I think about him, how his days have been, you know, what frustrates him when he gets up in the morning? Is it that he doesn't have enough time to eat and shower and all that? It's like constantly mm-hmm. thinking about how can I improve my person's life? And if they're mm-hmm. constantly thinking about how they can improve my life.
There's no deficit.
There's no difference. We're rolling. We're rolling. I got you when you don't have you. You have me when I don't have me.
Yeah, like, exactly. That's the exchange that's supposed to happen. But I think that we all just get so caught up in what we want and what we need. And literally love is sacrificing. You sacrifice for those that you love. We do it every day for our children. We do it every day when it comes to like our jobs and our careers. We sacrifice time. We sacrifice energy, money. And the for nothing gifts don't have to be expensive. It could literally be, like you said, a bag of Swedish fish. By the way, you got some coming. You know, but it could be like the smallest little thing, because really, to be honest, it's not the big, huge gestures literally that mean the most. A lot of times it's a card. I did have an ex that used to just randomly buy me the sweetest cards, or he would get an empty card and then write a note. Right. And it was thoughts. It wasn't Hallmark's thoughts. It was his thoughts. And he would write those things. And that was probably a $5 card, but it made me feel
like I was bucks.
So valued. You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of stuff that we need to think about when it comes to relationships, because really it's not as hard as we make it. Yes, it's work. Nobody's going to lie and say it's not work. It's definitely work. But a lot of these things, if we stop fighting each other and we just learn how to, the same way I want to be treated, let me just focus my energy on treating you the way I want to be treated. And if you focus your energy on treating me the way you want to be treated, we're good.
I mean,
solve the problem.